community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Just in the middle of a rant about gigs with the Everglows, which I'm sure you're going to hear in a little while when we're all having a chat about music. So I seem to remember last time you were all in, we talked forever about music, which is a good thing. Right, so hello to the Everglows again. Hello, Everglows.
Hello.
Hello there. We're going to have a session. We're going to start with a session. We're going to do three songs. That's how we usually do it on the show. And then after that, we'll huddle you around the microphones for a chat. So what song have we got coming up first?
Right, this is a brand new one that we've only rehearsed about three times, so
okay.
Hopefully it'll go all right, which is called Feet Walking.
Okay, before we start, I'm just letting the listeners know that I'm not quite ready. I'm going to be videoing it as well, so if you actually want to see what a band look like, you will find out in the next couple of days, because it will be up on the website. So
lots of mistakes.
So when you're ready, let's go for it. Delayed reaction while I just put the camera down and then start clapping again, otherwise I'll break the camera. That was great. That's a new song, yeah?
Brand new, yeah. Literally, we've never played that live, the three of us together. So, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah. We got a world exclusive then, yeah.
yeah.
Excellent.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, shall we go on to the next one? What have we got next?
Yeah. The next one's called Lost and Found. This has just come out today on a CD by Factory Fast Records in New York. So this has just come out. This has been out for us for a while, but it's just literally been released on CD today.
Available on iTunes.
It's available on iTunes and should be on Spotify and through the Factory
Fast Records website. There'll be plenty of time to plug it later. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Okay. When you're ready.
Okay.
Drunken haze, where you walk, the sun.
Yeah, I know it sounds like there's about 1,000 people in the room, but that was so that's a new single that's out now. Yeah,
is that right? That's the latest release through them. Yeah, that's out today.
Cool. Yeah. Okay, so we've got time for one more song, and which one would that be? Is that another new one or?
Well, this one is kind of our new, not new single, but latest track that we've put out, which we put out about a month ago. And
okay.
This one's called 2 Minute Hero.
Great. When you're ready.
Bye.
Let me turn my mic up. There you go. Perfect. Okay. That was a good 2 minute hero, and that was a bit longer than 2 minutes, that one, wasn't it?
Just about, yeah. 2.5 minute hero.
Brilliant. Okay. Fantastic. Three brand new songs from the Everglows. Never been played on Phoenix FM before, to my knowledge. Certainly not in the acoustic version. And we'll be back to have a chat with the guys straight after this record. Blur and Go Out. We've spent so long talking about music while that was playing that I haven't actually checked to see if your microphones are working. So I'll try and do it without telling the listeners. Right, hello, Andy, Ray and Steve again.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Yes, you're all there. Great. Okay, yeah, if you'll scooch up to the microphones a little bit, then she'll be able to hear you fine. That'd be perfect. Thank you very much. Okay, well, we've just been having a chat about music because last time you came in, we had an extremely long chat about music. I don't know if you recall that because I think we started... A fairly innocuous question about what your influences are and what kind of music you like, and it never stopped, did it? And no, I was mostly to blame for that.
That's all we talk about.
It's well, you know, we just played Blur, Go Out from the Magic Whip. It was their first album in 10 years, I think. Was it something like that? 12 years. 12 years, I think it was. 10, and that was a proper, in my eyes, that was a proper return to form. Anyway, I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it was good to see them doing what they should be doing, not faffing about and doing solo projects and becoming MPs and making cheese and things like that.
Yeah, that's...
flying planes or whatever they've been doing.
For a band I love, there is nothing... And I was going to say, I don't mean this personally, but I suppose it can only be personal, but there's very little that's endearing about them, because you've got the cheesemaker that sort of hobnobs with the News of the World and David Cameron, which is okay if you like the News of the World and David Cameron. That kind of thing. Well, you know, it is kind of detached from the fan base, though. I think that's the polite way to say it. So you've got him and you've got Damon Albarn, who... he's not universally... He's kind of the John Terry of music, really, you know. Yeah. Apologies if you're a Chelsea fan. Dave Rowntree's had a few fights with people online as well, and he's had a lot of people don't like him as well. But they put them all together, and they make fantastic music.
But Graham Coxon, he's just... Everyone leaves him alone. He's just a bit... He's sort of twisted genius, isn't he?
He is, yeah.
He likes to keep his head down, doesn't he?
He does.
It's good that they all made friends again and got back together, because they did produce a good album, I think, anyway. Let's talk about you. We didn't get you down here just to talk about Blur, although it's it's nice, you know, passes the time. Now, you came down about a year ago, did a session for us, you also did a gig for us in the meantime, and I couldn't remember what month it was for the life of me, but we think it was November last year, Phoenix Fridays at Old Brentwood, which we would have been playing. We played those gigs several times on the radio. Saturday night, it's our live music night, so we dig into the archives if we haven't had a new recording that week, so it's gone out quite a few times. But let's talk about yourself, just a bit of a recap for those who didn't hear your interview first time around. Just a little bit about your life story. How did you all get together as the Everglows?
Who's going to do this?
I met Andy and another bassist in a pub in Romford.
Pub? I know Romford well.
I think we met you online. I think you did an advert on one of those musician...
findamusician.com, I think, something like that. Yeah. But it's the pub on London Road. What is it, the Rising...
The Sun? Just the Sun, I think it is. The really big one near the roundabout.
No, not that one. The one further down towards Chapel Heath.
I don't know.
It's next to Iceland. I just don't go in for it.
Moreland Arms?
Froze, don't it?
No, not...
No, I'm just trying to think what it's called.
It was called a pub.
Opposite the dog track. Almost.
That's pretty much
that's
the one.
Yeah, very close.
That's the one.
I went in there for a drink once. I was very young. I was old enough to drink, but I was still very, very young. And it was a dog night. Pulled up in the car park, gone in with my girlfriend, and the landlord came out with two dogs. Not thinking of parking here, are you, mate? It just automatically assumed I'd gone to see the dogs and was ready to chase me out. I said, come here for a drink. Oh, no, no problem at all. Put his dogs away and gave us a drink. So, welcome to Romford.
Surprise customer.
I think we were the only ones there for some reason, probably because the dogs had chased them all away, and they weren't greyhounds as well. They were big, bitey dogs as well, so it wasn't very nice. Okay, so you all got together. You're basically a Romford band, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Pretty much. And we met Steve in Stratford at the Eddie when we were doing an open mic.
Yeah, just turned up for a drink with a friend. Didn't even know there was an open mic on. Heard some music playing. Walked around the corner and see a few other guys, just sort of solo musicians. And then I see Andy and Ray, and quite like their songs and that.
So they were doing them without a bass, basically, were they?
Well, yeah. I thought they needed another guitarist, to be honest with you, but and the bass guitarist. So yeah. I said if they needed another guitarist, then because I play guitar. That's what I was brought up playing and stuff like that. I never really thought about playing the bass until I met these guys.
And
they brainwashed me all night about playing the bass, and I declined. And was it? I was in there a couple of weeks later, and these guys were in there again.
This was late, and we got there late.
Yeah, it was late.
We put our names down, and we got the 11:30 slot. So sort of 6-7 pints later,
we're a little
bit
drunk. Yeah,
we'll do the thing, and we started playing, and we were so hammered that I dropped my pick on the floor. I was like, "Sorry, I've got another pick. Got the other pick out. Dropped that on the floor, and then spent 30 seconds on my hands and knees. He's just playing these drums. I'm on my hands and knees trying to pick my pick up. I just couldn't do it. About 30 seconds. And
was that 30 seconds trying to get up? Found the pick.
And he still joined the band, which is unbelievable.
Now, I had nothing better to do, so
but then
these
again,
guys needed my help by the looks of it.
I'm no drummer, but I would imagine that after six or seven parts, you can still play the drums pretty well, because it's just hitting the drum, isn't it?
Oh, he does a bit of things.
You're still keeping it all together.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. If anything's going to suffer, it'd be your timing, but you can still hit things, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But then again, it could just be a little bit, you know, offbeat, syncopated, whatever, you know, a bit jazzy.
People watching us, it was Steve and his mate.
they call Stella Artois wife beater, don't they? But I think I drink ale, so I think that's snare beater.
Right.
Sure, that's what I drink.
Could be a marketing opportunity there somewhere, yeah. How would you describe your sound? I mean, you come in here and obviously you're playing a fairly acoustic set, but there are a lot of influences behind that, aren't there? I mean, I could hear tinges of some of the bands we talked about before, you know, a little bit of Bruce Foxton maybe on the bass, that kind of thing. And it was interesting because off mic you were talking, Andy, that you said that you haven't been listening to Blur's new stuff much in case it influences you, which is kind of a bit of an odd thing, because you're never going to sound exactly like the album.
You find that if you're listening to, I remember when Blur's last single came out, which was Westway, and I was like, I've got this song to these two. It's called Church Bell Sunday, and it starts off pretty much with the same kind of vibe. Really with the same kind of vibe. And I know that if I listen to one thing for too much, if I listen to too much Kinks or too much Blur or too much Beatles or whatever,
You end up
playing it too much.
Do you find that's a problem? Because obviously you're music lovers as well as musicians, and you don't really want your love of music to hinder your musicianship.
Well, it's interesting actually, because we had a really good review online a couple of days ago, and the three people that were reviewing our song actually said that we wear our influences on our sleeve, but we don't let it completely dominate, and they thought that we were doing it really well. And, you know, we found the right balance where we've got our own sound, but you can clearly hear our influences. So I think that's the right, if you can do it that way.
Well,
it seems to be working.
Yeah, when we first got together, we kind of said, we want to play music that we would want to listen to.
Mm. Mm.
And I think we still do that.
Well,
Steve likes to listen to really heavy metal stuff.
Well, not these days, but...
No, I'm joking.
These guys have got influences from all the bands of the 60s and that, and that wasn't really my genre, to be honest with you. I was more sort of into, I don't know, towards the late 90s, the indie and the grunge and stuff like that. So... So therefore, I don't write too much, but...
I think you bring... What you bring to the table?
My bass lines, which I bring along, they're not influenced by anyone in particular. I just play what I think sounds good with the song.
Yeah.
So,
and it does sound good with the song. Yeah, it makes some.
It's
massive
not
difference.
Influenced from anyone. I don't listen to or try and look back at any bassists from that era to see what they're playing. So I just play. I just play what fits with the song. And what fits in with the drums mainly. So
I think you're always going to eke out a bit of a unique sound if you've got, you know, if you're in the 90s and the other guys are a little bit in the 60s maybe, and it is going to be a bit of a new thing, isn't it, really?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it comes over because I remember you saying that a lot of your influences, there was obviously sort of 60s mod influences, and but there's also psychedelia, and then you've got new wave and Britpop as well, so it's kind of a big melting pot. It's not it's not completely out of kilter with one another though, so it still creates a unique sound.
But yeah. I think ideally I think if you're a songwriter, you want to aim for that timeless thing, don't you? Like all the great songwriters.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about 60s songwriters, but that's because their songs are so good that they're going to last for generations. Yeah. If you can hit that,
that's very
true. Hit that stream, then you're onto a great thing, you know.
It's all about, it's not really about us or me or them or, you know, these two. It's about the song and making the song sound as good as it can, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean,
definitely.
We last had a long chat about music about 12 months ago, and obviously Blur's album's been out, which we've got a bit of a mutual appreciation for. Is there anything else coming out? What do you think of the state of music at the moment? Do you think there's a lot of good music out there and you have to find it, or do you think it's...
I think you have to dig for it, because I've found some good bands, and Spotify is a good way to dig for music, because you can find one particular band that's a bit obscure, and then you can see related artists from there. If you listen to the radio, it's very rare that you hear new and interesting music.
Well, there's only a few stations that are playing anything new or different, which is a bit of a shame. And there's not a lot on telly anymore, apart from Jules Holland, maybe. And
even then, it's kind of, it's not... I mean, even the chart show used to have a lot of Indian dance and, you know, rock stuff and things like that. TV does... It has killed music off a little bit, hasn't it? Because all the music budget goes into stuff like X Factor and that kind of thing.
Yeah, there's no, like, Top of the Pops anymore or The White Room or, you know, those sort of live music things. And, like, it's just six music, and that seems to
what's
be...
What's really sad is that we did a gig the other week at the workshop in Old Street, and there was... three other bands on, and they're all really interesting, but there was only one band that had a decent audience. And if you really want to hear something new and different, go and see a band, get out of your house and go and see a gig and just give it a go, because we played for nothing. The whole night was free, and there was four, you know, including us, good bands on, you know, and so that's what people should do. I really think people should just go out and listen to live music, and hopefully that might kickstart something and get people.
Then you get all sorts of music there. Then we've heard all sorts of bands while we've been waiting for ourselves to come on and just hanging around after our gigs. So
was that band Kaleidoside? They were great, weren't they?
Yeah,
the last band at our last gig.
Yeah, the one just before.
Yeah, which was a shame. No, it was a really good band.
Which
really
band was it?
Collider's Eye, I think they were called.
Right.
But there was a really good Italian psych band called Hard Candy or something that we saw in Finsbury that was really good.
Yeah, who's been playing them? You said someone's been playing them on the radio. Session for someone.
Can't remember.
We'll dig them out and we'll play them. Yeah. We'll find them and we'll get them on the radio. So we'll see what they sound like, you know. Always open to requests and recommendations here. I mean, you know, we do what we can to play new music and feature live music and that kind of thing. But it is kind of it's just easy just to play chart music for a lot of radio stations. And sadly, that's what a lot of people like listening to. You know,
Unfortunately, chart music. I mean, I've got youngest kids and they listen to Capital Radio, and if it's not Ellie Goulding or Sam Smith or Rihanna or you know,
the big artists,
big artists that have you know, done their thing, Taylor Swift and earned their money, they would never. It's like there was that song by who's the guy with the hat? James Bay, is it?
I don't know that he's got a hat, so I couldn't wait to hear the description of who it was. Guy with a hat.
The guy with a hat, yeah. No. Not Edge from U2. But he was played heavily on XFM, and Capital suddenly decided, oh, we're going to play that as well. So, and then, because Capital played it, my wife and my kids went, we really like James Bay. I was like, who's that broken hat?
So they didn't like it when XFM played it.
They didn't like it when XFM played
exactly,
it.
Yeah.
But now
that's
they do like it. So it's funny, if it's almost like the media telling them This is what you need to
It's
need
okay
to
listen to this now.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, exactly. I think that's always been the case. I think that the mainstream media, the big money media, BBC and big commercial stations, I think they've always directed music. It was just 25 years ago. I think there was a lot of, you know, you had Happy Mondays and Stone Roses and then bands like Blur were in, you had Nirvana and so on in America. And now, what have you got? You've got James Bay. Yes. Sam Smith. It's kind of sad, really,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, you know? It is. It really,
you know,
is.
My kids have to grow up listening to stuff like that and having those kind of bands as, you know, I mean, you know, Indian alternative music seems to be a lot tamer now than,
yeah,
it doesn't seem to be a lot different.
You've got like the Arctic Monkeys, and that seems to be about all it really is kind of about.
Well, there are quite a few.
I mean, you just got to search them out.
They're hard to find. Yeah. That's the trouble.
Yeah,
and they don't get recognition.
No, but then the internet, you know, is hopefully spreading.
The music is out there. There's tons and tons.
You have
of
to
it
find
there,
it. You have to dig around and find it.
Yeah, definitely.
Last time we spoke about yourselves, you said you've been picked up by a record label in New York, which you mentioned again briefly at the start of the session today. So, just remind us again, how did a label in New York find you?
I've got a feeling it was through Twitter.
Right.
I must have sent them something. That was last summer. And I think they're musicians, and they basically put together compilations.
Mm.
And they've done, this is the fourth track. The one, The Lost and Found, is the fourth track that we've had on their compilations. We don't make any money at it.
Yeah.
And they don't make any money at it. But they are just, but as I said to the man who runs it, we didn't get into music really to make money. We just got into music to make music.
No, we didn't get in the radio for the same reason, actually. Tell me about it.
No, exactly. It's like you don't become an actor to become a millionaire, do you?
Quite right, yeah.
Yeah.
But it must be nice that you got that interest and they can take it to a new market. And
It's fantastic. I mean, they've got a on Spotify, and if you go on Amazon Japan, we're on it.
Yeah.
iTunes,
and you know, all those kind of places.
Have you picked up any listeners from around the world as a result of it?
Not particularly. I mean, we have quite a listenership in sort of across the pond.
Hmm.
Canada and the US.
Canada, yeah. Boston Radio plays a lot. A guy called Dr. Bones, who's in London, Ontario, plays us quite a lot. Whenever if we send him anything, he'll just play it. So yeah,
I think I know that guy. I think he used to listen to my show years and years ago. And
I think we got
chatting on Twitter.
But Dr. Bones has got a lot cooler.
Yeah.
But he's the one I was talking about who reviewed our song, and he always has two other people or one other person also giving their opinions.
You know,
and they always seem to like what we do, you know, give us good.
I'm a terrible reviewer. I cannot review. People ask me to review and blurb them and that kind of thing, which is, you know, nice publicity for us. But if I like a song, I say, yeah, that's really good. And I just don't really want to dissect it. I just want to get lost in the moment, really. And, you know, fair play to these people who could actually dissect a song and find the good bits and the bad bits and what it said. Oh, I just can't do that at all. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It's just like, either like it or turn it off.
Yeah.
You know, but that's pretty cool that they got you on. So you've released, is it just the one track you've released with them so far? Or?
No, there's been four.
Oh, four,
so far.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, we kept trying to sort of get, because it was like, look, is this leading anywhere? And they were like, well, we really like the band. And that's, so is it leading anywhere? Yeah, we really like the band.
Yeah. We were sort of hunting for a trip to New York, all expenses paid, but they haven't got any money, so.
We
keep trying to meet their man in London, and they're like, well, you won't like him. He's a really weird or nasty man or something. It's just like,
well, that's just London, isn't it?
He must come from South London, but so. I won't alienate ourselves too much.
Okay, so these are just sort of one-off tracks. Are you actually putting together like a big opus, an album of some kind?
Well, that's what we've been talking about recently, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really? We've brought a little bit of recording equipment, and we're probably going to experiment with that a little bit this year, and maybe look to record a select number of songs next year.
Yeah.
And we're just looking for a location. We're hoping to get somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Maybe we can make loads of noise.
We've basically got all the
drink
kit.
A lot of beer.
We just need to do it, don't we? Really,
yeah.
Just be good to get, because I mean, we've got lots of recordings of our tracks, but one recording never sounds like the other, so it's not very uniform. And
so you need to be in the same place and get the same kind of feel.
Yeah, they're not very polished as well.
Really.
It'd be nice to get that, if we can try and get that polished sound. But it will mean doing it ourselves, and maybe a little bit of a learning curve.
If you can go
somewhere
where you can set the equipment up, play, and then have a break, go for some food, have a drink, start playing again, and play till 4 o'clock in the morning if you want. Then have a kip, wake up, and you've got all your gear set up. It's just ideal, because that way it just flows and you can hopefully keep going.
We've done the recording studio thing a couple of years ago, and it was good. It was a very short session, and we did too many songs really in the session. We had time to do it, but the problem is, once it was done, that was it. You can't do that again. Whereas we like the freedom to be able to overdub, be able to do it again.
So it was more on your own terms, and you'd be a bit more relaxed and not feel like you're under a budget and a pressure.
It's just time. It's so time consuming recording anyway.
I read a lot about bands that have recorded, and it always seems to be, it's so important, the environment and taking your time and feeling relaxed and being in a nice place makes a big difference to what you record.
Because
we've had some good recordings from where we rehearse in Debden, and that's because the doors are closed, no one can hear you, and we're relaxed.
It's almost like a second home.
We usually take a few takes as well, don't we, of one song, and you know, some of them sound good, and then you hear one and it's just got more energy than the other, and then we try and remix the one that's got the more energy, I suppose.
Definitely. There's a lot to do in multiple takes, isn't there? Just getting it right.
I mean, we do these we do some sessions every year called the creative sessions, which are a little bit less rough and ready than what we've done tonight. And I think we did ask you to come down, and you couldn't do it because some of you was on holiday, I think. That was the problem with booking in August this year, unfortunately. A lot of people were on holiday, but that's something we do. You know, the bands will often do two or three takes when they're recording and just try to get the right one, and then creative do a fantastic job. They take it away and they mix and master the song, so they're a bit less like a session and more like a recording session than a radio session. But you know, they do a fantastic job. But every now and then you'll get a band who just play the same song over and over again, and you realise they're actually rewriting it during the day, which isn't really very good, because everyone gets an hour, so it's not always a good idea when that happens. Talking about gigs, you mentioned that you play quite a lot of gigs this year as well.
Yeah, I reckon we've done it doesn't sound like a lot. We must have done 10-12 gigs this year, which it seems is quite a lot. But we had a section where we did 6 gigs in 6 weeks, and it was quite hard work, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because it was...
Yeah, keeping the momentum going.
Yeah, because...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
If it's not a concerted tour, then that's not too bad, really, is it? Because everything's got to be booked individually each time, isn't it?
Yeah, it just so happened that it was just set like that. But we played some good places. We played in Dublin Castle, and we played in the Finsbury and Finsbury Park, the Chingford Festival.
Islington,
yeah.
The workshop,
Any particular one that stood out over and above the others?
I think the Dublin Castle is always a good gig, because the fact that everyone knows it is a place to go and see bands, and they just turn up. They don't turn up to see a particular band. They just go there to see bands.
Yeah, it's good venue.
So it's always good.
The Finsbury had really good sound.
A very good sound system.
The Finsbury was the loudest place on the planet.
Which was really good.
It was too loud. But the Finsbury is a really cool little venue, isn't it?
It's a very good sound system as well.
It's free.
I've been to the Dublin Castle. I haven't been to Finsbury.
And what was the one we played the other week? The workshop in Hoxton.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's
that
just
one.
Like
is
a
that
little
a new
underground
place?
Bar in Old Street.
It's just near the fire station.
Oh yeah, I do know it. Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
I mean, it's 30-foot square in there, but. Really nice people that run it, and good sound again.
There's loads. I mean, Hoxton gets a pretty bad press for being Hipsterville and so on, but there's loads of venues there, and they're doing their bit to keep music alive in that place, aren't they, really?
Yeah, for sure, cool.
And you played a couple, you played the Basement as well, didn't you? And
Chelmsford, played the Basement,
and, played there a couple of times, and that was a nice venue. If this man from the Basement Bar is listening, we wouldn't mind playing again. But he's the hardest man on the planet to get hold of, unfortunately.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah.
The problem there was that they do a happy hour and things like that to encourage people to come in, and they get a really massive crowd of students and young people about midnight. And we played at 9 o'clock.
Right.
They don't want to know. Mm. We said, well, we want to play to people, so we want to. But since then, we haven't been able to get hold of him.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame. The invisible man.
Might need to go around and send a delegation or something. Yeah.
There's a bit of a shout out going on there. If anyone's listening and knows him,
we'll put out an all points bulletin later. We'll see if we can get hold of him. It would be nice. So I was going to ask what the future holds for the band. Obviously, you're going to do some recording in the new year, hopefully, and more writing, I suppose. All the songs are pretty much written, are they? Or are you still writing?
It's been quite a lean patch. But we rehearsed for the first time 3 new songs. Mm. And you heard one of them tonight, and there's 2 others. They're all very different. One's a bit creamy, and one's a bit...
As in the band's
as
cream.
In the band cream. Yeah. It's a bit heavier than the other stuff. Not dance cream. One's a bit poppy, and the other one's a bit sort of Beatles-y, Oasis-y, I suppose. Mm.
You can just say Beatles-y for that, can't you?
Exactly. So we're going to work on some of that, and we kind of said that we were going to concentrate on some recording now, because we've done, like I said, quite a few gigs this year, and the next gig's in December.
Yeah, Friday the 11th at the workshop.
Come on down.
And it's going to be our Christmas gig. So,
nice.
Yeah. So bring your Santa costumes and your fake beards.
I got a feeling Phoenix is having its own Christmas gig on that same day, which is going to be awkward. But if we can make it, we'll send some people down. Who are you playing with? Do you know yet?
We're not sure yet. Actually, the lineup hasn't been confirmed. But we should know in the next couple of weeks, hopefully.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. And if anyone wants to hear more about you, where's the best place to go? I mean, the obvious thing is website, Facebook, Twitter. But do you use one over another?
Probably, Andy uses Twitter a lot, so there's definitely that. But Facebook and SoundCloud, probably mostly.
SoundCloud.
And Facebook. If you want to listen to our tracks, it's SoundCloud.
But Facebook for messages and to see what's going on.
At Twitter, the Everglows for the other bit. Even if you go into Google and put in the Everglows, all that kind of stuff comes up.
Yeah, there's not loads and loads of Everglows around the globe that you get confused for.
Well, there's a new band that's come out from America, somewhere in the south,
called
Everglow.
I think that's a track that these guys have made rather than
There's a track called the Everglow. That comes up top here. We're somewhere second, but then there's this new band, which is a little bit worrying.
I think they might be Canadian. Top hit these days.
Yeah, but this band is signed, and they're Canadian, I think. We've got to be careful of that a little
bit. So the American southern band, that's going to be some kind of Christian rock with a bit of country or something, is it?
Probably.
Canada, I don't know what they're doing.
The Everglow, so.
Yeah, hopefully we'll have had that name before them, and they can... pay us lots of money.
You can either sue them or catch in.
Do you know what will happen? They'll sue us, probably, even though we were first, because they got the money.
Yeah.
Okay, well, hopefully people will get directed to the right one, at the Everglows on Twitter, and then you can't go wrong with that. Going to say, thanks for the chat. We could probably be... fill the rest of the show and talk about music, but there's actually no reason why we can't. I'm wrapping it up now, unfortunately. So Andy, Ray and Steve, keep in touch and about what you're doing as well. Let us know when the new songs are committed to MP3 as it is now, and keep in touch with us, and we look forward to hearing the new stuff. Thanks very much.
Community Radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.